Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. Back on TV. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS2 this hour, FS1 in 1 hour from now to finish out our show. Joy Taylor is joining me today. We are back and ready to go for the rest of the summer. You'll see us on television. We had a couple of weeks off of the World Cup. Both took our vacays, did some radio only, so it's good to be back. Joy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good to be back.
Good to be back. So here is the story that broke about 10 minutes ago. So it's not really a breaking story, but it kind of classifies as interesting because of who's involved. Adrian Wojnarowski, Golden State Warriors star Kevin Durant, has officially declined his $31.5 million player option. Very well compensated for Golden State, will become an unrestricted free agent. Durant and his business manager, Rich Kleiman, are in New York. I've seen that in social media last couple days, evaluating free agency options. So far, the process has stayed private. I think this would be a massive mistake. I think Kevin Durant going to the Knicks will be an utter disaster. It's poorly owned. The roster is anemic. The front office is, I'm told, good, but totally unproven. And I think it's a disaster. And I'll say this again. Why would you leave a great marriage? Because you're seeking personal validation. Why would you leave a great company? Because you're seeking personal validation. Kevin Durant wants to keep telling us that he just doesn't care what we, the media, and you, the fans, think of him. Then why would you leave? You leave great situations in life for only one reason. You have something to prove. And Kevin Durant has nothing to prove to Kevin Durant. And how do I know that? Because remember during the Clippers series when people said, why aren't you shooting more? And Kevin Durant said this.
I'm not going to get in the way of the game because, you know, I want to have a little back and forth with Patrick Beverley. I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
Kevin Durant clearly has nothing to prove to Kevin Durant. He's telling you that. I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. So who's he trying to prove it to? When you seek validation from others, it never ends well. Kevin, what do you want the world to tell you that it hasn't yet? This is validation seeking. And it's not Kevin trying to prove to Kevin he's great. Because Kevin just told you, Kevin knows Kevin's great. And we all know Kevin's great. He doesn't lack confidence. He's telling you, I'm Kevin Durant. I can do what I want to do. And obviously, he's had so much success in life. He keeps being, it keeps, you know, it validates to himself constantly, you're good, you're good, you're good. He goes to a gym every day. He's the best player in the gym. He goes to the games every day. He's the best player in the gym. That part, if you're a great singer, a great basketball player, a great artist, you are being told on a daily basis by your product, your content, your work, you're great. You can see it. So what is he doing? He is seeking the validation of others. He wants others to think he's the man. That's the only reason he's doing that. Because everybody he plays with tells him, you're the best player. His coaches tell you, he's the best player. He goes for the USA Olympic stuff, you're the best player. Kevin told you, I'm the best player. I think this is going to end terribly. I think it is a classic mistake. I think it's a guy in a great marriage that has some sort of validation to prove he can do better. And good luck leaving great marriages and good luck leaving great owners and teams and companies. It is seeking validation from others, and it in my life, it never ends up well. I think KD to the Knicks will be a disaster. I think KD to the Nets with Kyrie may not be a disaster, but will massively underachieve. It'll be interesting, that I can guarantee. So here's, we're getting very close now, right? There's a rumor now out this morning that LA has believed for weeks they'll be in on the Kawhi Leonard race. I do not believe that to be true. Yesterday, I did radio only. Rick Bucher came on the show and brought up something I was not aware of between Kawhi Leonard maybe staying in Toronto due to a deal with a private jet company.
What I'm hearing is that they are now showing signs of concern that it's not going to go their way. Kawhi signing the sponsorship deal with the Canadian private jet company, that raised some alarms in Clipperville because that's the same company that basically gave Drake a private jet for free. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that you would be a sponsor. You know, would that work? Would Kawhi's name carry in Canada still if he moves to L.A.?
I've said before, I hear Kawhi is not going to be a Laker. I don't think they have a chance, and I don't think they have the money. So we are waiting for Sunday evening because that's officially when everybody can sign their stars, right? Sunday evening. There'll be a bunch of rumors going out. It's fun. This is what the NBA is. It's a soap opera. The NFL is the sport we bet and watch. The NBA is the sport we watch less, don't bet much, but we talk about a lot. It's a living, breathing soap opera, and it's a lot of fun. I like this time of the year. But I'm finding as we near the date Sunday, there are three categories of teams pursuing free agents. There's the delusional category, and it may surprise you the teams I put in it. The Knicks, the Lakers, and the Rockets. The Knicks have no idea how they're perceived. They have a bad owner, an embarrassingly anemic roster. They're a D-list actor that's convinced they're Tom Hanks. They think they're Denzel, and they're a D-list actor. There's the Lakers. You do not have the money for Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is not going to consider you. You did add LeBron and Anthony Davis because you have a great brand in warm winter weather and entertainment capital of the world. But in the end, your GM is hated. You screwed up the timing on the AD deal and lost $8 million in salary cap stuff, so you don't have the money for Kawhi or D'Angelo Russell. And the third team to me that is a little bit delusional is the Houston Rockets. A story came out yesterday. They're going to force a sign-in trade with the Sixers. The Chris Paul deal now is an albatross. The Melo deal didn't make sense. Your owner clearly can't stand Mike D'Antoni. I love your general manager, but he leaks too much to the media. Those teams feel delusional to me. The second category is what I would call contenders. The Clippers, the Raptors, Dallas, Warriors, and the Celtics. They appear to be well-run and well-owned. There's a lot of grown-ups in the room. None of us would be shocked if they landed a star or kept a star. And you don't hear a lot of media leaks from the Mavericks, the Celtics, the Raptors, the Clippers, and the Warriors. And by the way, even if those teams don't land a star, they're all pretty good. I mean, if the Raptors just keep the same team, they're good. If the Warriors lose KD, still good. Celtics, Mavericks, Clippers, those are the contenders. And then there's the irrelevance. The Nets, the Pacers, the T-Wolves, the Suns, even if they did land a star, I'm not sure they'd be great. They all have some sort of level of interest with D'Angelo Russell. these are not movers and shakers in the NBA. You know, the Pacers have a nice team. The Nets are kind of interesting, kind of fascinating backcourt. But they're kind of irrelevant. And I'll tell you, when I look at this stuff, as we near the date, I really enjoy this time of the year in the NBA. But there's a lot of irrelevance and a lot of delusion. And I'll go back to something I believe to be true. How good is your owner? How good is your general manager? And if those two are A+, A-, I trust you in this process. If I don't like your ownership group, if I don't trust your GM or he's hated, I think there's some delusion going on. And Houston's a hard team for me to say that about because I like a lot about him. But D'Antoni, are you trying to convince me you're in on him now? Doesn't feel like it. Chris Paul, you're trying to convince me you're in on him now? It doesn't feel like it. It's just a crazy time of the year. And I think it kind of comes down to three groups: delusion, contenders, and irrelevant.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Let me just add this on Kevin Durant. So he can stay with the Warriors and sign a 5-year, $221 million deal. Any other team, he signs a 4-year, $164 million deal. So he's giving up $60 million. When these players fight in collective bargaining, when they sit at a table with owners, when they say we're going to go on strike, they're doing it to be compensated at the highest level. And so when billionaires sit across from you and go, okay, you win, take advantage of it. None of these owners, or do we call them governors now? None of these guys would give up $60 million. That's why they're billionaires. All I ever hear about young basketball players, got to pay college kids. Got to pay college kids. Got to pay the player. Okay. So the owners say, hey, we'll do this thing where if you stay with us, we'll give you an extra $50 million guaranteed. And players are turning it down? Isn't this what you collectively fought for? $220 million or $160 million. You may say, it doesn't matter at that point. You know who it matters to? People that own teams. Jerry Jones, if somebody offers him $60 million guaranteed, never turns it down. Kevin, this is what all players fight for in collective bargaining. The ability to make the most money. Unlike owners who can make money forever, radio hosts, attorneys, doctors, I've always sided with a professional athlete. Their window's like, honestly, NFL, it's tiny. NBA, it's longer, but let's be honest, in the NBA, you get about 7 to 8 years of prime athletic years. Why would you ever give the people who you are offended calling them owners, you want to call them governors, fine. Then don't give them $60 million back. You take every penny you can get. That's why you're fighting for all this money. And then the owners relinquish it, and you're like, yeah, that's okay. I want to prove I'm the man. I don't get it. Don't get it. All right, let me shift to this. People love, I love it, I'm sure you love it. It's kind of cool if you can say, hey, I saw this band before they were big. It always kind of feels cool if you're in the room and you can, early discovery. Like, I remember, and I do remember, first time I introduced you two to my friend in my small town on the Washington coast, Jack Jones. I gave him an 8-track tape and I said, there's this band from Dublin, they're going to be huge. He's like, I don't know who they are. I'm like, trust me, they're going to be huge. You know, not like I'm some, you know, music producer, but I listened to him. People were talking about him in college. I was a year older. I gave him an 8-track and I said, this is going to be the next great band. And at the time I was an AC/DC Van Halen kid, right? And so early discovery is fun. I got the stock when it was $6. Now it's Amazon. It's good to brag about that. I knew Amazon, Microsoft, Starbucks was big back in the 70s and 80s. So the American media is wrong a lot. But where the American media, sports media, is usually right is when we tell you this teenager is a guaranteed American superstar. I'm a member of the media, and I told you that about Tiger. I told you that about Ken Griffey. I told you that about A-Rod. We told you that about LeBron and Kobe. We told you that about Michael Phelps. We told you that about Serena. We told you Serena at 16, superstar. Ken Griffey. Christian Pulisic is the one I'm proudest of. A couple years ago, saw him at 17, and I said, I'm not a soccer expert. That's our greatest soccer talent of all time, and he is. So now Pulisic is the last one, the last 17-year-old, now I think he's 19, that we all went, woo! Well, we have our next. It's Zion Williamson. Cool moment a couple days ago where Drew Brees sent him an autographed jersey. Here's the moment.
Oh, my God. Zion, welcome to the family. Let's dance. Oh, this is nice. My first jersey for a professional athlete. Jeez, thank you, Drew Brees. It's a nice gift. Sheesh. Wow, passing the torch. Are you ready to take that on? City of New Orleans.
This is the next great American superstar. And not just because he's talented. There are three things that he has going for him that Magic Johnson did, and Tiger did, and LeBron did, and Serena did, and here they are. Number one, his game is truly dynamic. It doesn't look like everybody else. Karl Malone was great. Tim Duncan was great. Zion's game is dynamic. He breaks through shoes. His volume, his size, he looks different. He plays different. Tiger Woods was built like a football player. Tiger Woods was so long off the tee, they had to change courses. The first thing about American superstars, Bryce Harper was hitting 500-foot home runs in high school. Serena serving 125, 135 when others weren't. His game is truly dynamic. Not all great players have dynamic games. Tim Duncan wasn't dynamic. He was great. Karl Malone wasn't dynamic. He was great. The second thing he has, early momentum. 16 years old, he went viral. His mixtape, still the hottest thing for basketball players. He played at the number one brand, Duke. His shoe exploded against North Carolina. He's got early momentum. We have identified him very early. It's like stand-up comedy. Rodney Dangerfield's one of the only ones that didn't do it until he was 40. Most of the time, by 25, we know who the next great comedian is. So, number one, his game is truly dynamic. Number two, he's had early momentum. And number three, this kid is got a charisma and a personality you can just not deny. From crying on draft night, he's likable, he's relatable, he's humble, he's handsome, he's fun, he emotes, he's loving, he's embraceable. I didn't think he'd come back after the shoe deal. I'm like, no, don't risk it. Don't you get... He's like, not only do I want to come back, I may come back as a sophomore. This is the next great American superstar. And we don't get... I'll tell you, it's about every 5-6 years. It's about every 5 or 6 years you get one. This is it. You can argue, but the American sports media, we make a lot of mistakes. I miss on a lot of football picks, okay? I'm not right on a bunch of stuff. But this one is a no-brainer. He may not even be the best rookie in this class. Maybe Ja Morant has better statistical numbers. This kid, the game, the early momentum, and the personality and charisma is absolutely, it jumps through a television set.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Right now, starting Sunday evening, we have all this free agency stuff. And there's been a lot of rumors for a lot of months. I've told you, I have no idea where Kawhi is going. My sources don't know. I'm not going to fake it. The only person I have predicted that I have been told by a current NBA player and a former NBA player that Kyrie Irving would choose the Brooklyn Nets. I told you that a month ago. I feel strongly about that. The rest of the stuff I'm reading like you, my sources don't know. A lot of my sources are scouts. They're executives. They're not in the club. They don't know. They're like seeking the approval of the star and the agent. So when I have sources, I tell you, and when I don't, I tell you. The only sourcing I have on any of this free agency stuff is Kyrie and the Nets. I've been told there's a very strong connection. Like most of you, it looks like Durant's going to the Knicks. I wouldn't do it, but it looks like he is. I'm hearing the D'Angelo Russell thing to the Lakers, although they can't afford what Minnesota can and others can. So I thought today, there's another story out today, Jimmy Butler rumors that the Rockets don't have the salary cap space to add Jimmy Butler to their roster, but they're going to push for a sign and trade with the Sixers. I mean, I don't think Jimmy Butler fits. I don't think you can convince Jimmy Butler to go to Houston and say, hey, Jimmy, you'll be our third scoring outlet. I don't think that works. I think it would be a chemistry mess. By the way, just because you had great pieces, Charles Barkley once played together with Scottie Pippen in Houston. It did not work. Charles is a better player than Pippen. Pippen had the rings and didn't respect Charles, and Charles knew he was better and he is than Scottie Pippen as a player, and it just didn't work. And there's egos. These are 20 and 30-year-old guys. Of course they have egos. I got an ego. I'm 55. I should be over it. You know, you're entertainers. Egos are part of it. We have to understand that. I think in all this free agency stuff, the part where the media misses out on, we're playing fantasy basketball. Do the players like each other? Will they work together? I think that's the thing about Jimmy Butler. I think he showed he can work in Philadelphia. Simmons doesn't shoot, so Jimmy can shoot. And Embiid misses games. So a lot of nights, Jimmy Butler feels like the most important Philadelphia 76er. And I think Jimmy likes that. I think he likes that. And I would like that because Jimmy's older. He's not 19. He's not 24. He's not like 30. He wants to be the guy. So I thought today we'd play a little frantic free agency, and I'll just guess. I'll put players what I believe from the limited sources I have on this stuff. I'll predict where guys go. And so Joy and I, let's play the game a little bit, a little music. Let's start with Jimmy Butler. My guess is the Philadelphia 76ers sign him. If I was Philadelphia, I would. I think because Simmons is not a natural shooter and scorer like Jimmy, that Jimmy can play with Simmons as a star who's a better distributor than shooter, and Jimmy feels like the man in late clock situations, late game situations. And Embiid's not a great free throw shooter. So Butler may be the third most talented guy, but I think on a lot of nights, he feels like I'm the man, and frankly, I do want him taking the shot late. So I think Butler Joy works in Philadelphia.
I think he works in Philadelphia, but I think he goes to Houston.
All right. Okay. All right. So I'm going to go Philadelphia. Next up, Kyrie Irving. This is the one I have sourced. I've been told he grew up a Nets fan. Listen, I think Brooklyn will always fight the Yankees, the Jets, the Giants, the Knicks. They need a star. D'Angelo Russell's a good player. He's not a star like Kyrie Irving. So I'm going to predict, this is the one I felt for the last month, that Kyrie Irving goes to the Brooklyn Nets. I don't think he makes them significantly better. I think he's flaky. he's better than D'Angelo Russell, but he is harder to play with. So, and they're already good at guard. There's things the Nets need. It's not guard play. But this is where I think he goes, and I think he feels loved, and this is where he goes.
I agree with you. I don't think that makes them better. Like you said, they're going to be about the same. But Kyrie in New York, he's a star. It works. And the Nets were fun last year.
They were. Number three, Klay Thompson. This is the easy one. Klay Thompson's going to be a Golden State Warrior. He's not going anywhere. First of all, he's the second or third best two-way player in the league after Kawhi Leonard. He, Paul George, he plays both ends. Great kid. Great personality. Dad was a pro. He gets the game. And frankly, he's very comfortable being the man every third night. He's good with that. That's his DNA. His dad was the same way. His dad's very chill. I know his dad. I like his dad. His son's very similar. He doesn't need this constant validation from the world. He likes his shots, and he doesn't want you to forget him. He's not going to be the fourth scoring option, but his personality works, and I think he's really undervalued in the NBA. I've said this before. I think Klay Thompson is the only player in the NBA that fits on every roster. LeBron doesn't. Kyrie doesn't. Embiid doesn't. Klay fits on every coach is saying, can you get me a guy that plays both ways, not a huge ego, and can hit a three? That's Klay Thompson.
I think he stays with the Warriors, too. Although it would be so fun to imagine him playing with LeBron, though.
Oh, yeah, it would be.
It's not going to happen, though.
All right, how about number four? Kemba Walker. This is the one I actually kind of feel strongly about. I think he works within Brad Stevens' system. He had a very strong-willed college coach, Jim Calhoun. Jim Calhoun was a strong coach. Kemba's played underneath a coach who's got a strong system, and he flourished. Brad Stevens has his system. You have to relinquish some of your identity with Brad Stevens. I also think Stevens, outside of Kyrie, has a history of making all the guards better. Kemba needs to become a little more relevant because I think he's one of the better players in the league that nobody knows about. I think this is a win-win for both.
Yeah, that was going to be my take. He's kind of hidden there in Charlotte. This would be a perfect fit for him. They need it with Kyrie being gone, and it's the East, so it's wide open. That piece could really be what Boston needs to stay competitive.
Let's go. Who's next on this? Al Horford. I'm going to guess Clippers. And first of all, he's mature. I think they're going to potentially miss out on Kawhi Leonard. I think he's coachable. I think he's one of the more amenable players in the league. You can kind of put him in a multitude of systems. Again, in college, he had Billy Donovan as a coach. Strong personality. Brad Stevens, strong system. Doc Rivers, strong personality. I think Al Horford ends up being what the Clippers, I say settled for, because he's not Kawhi. But for the record, if you add Al Horford to this team, again, it's a very good basketball team.
Now, the Clippers were fun, and they were great last year, so this would be a big addition for them, but I kind of like him in New Orleans.
I know.
And David Griffin's been pulling everything off lately, so I could see it happening.
How about next? Kawhi Leonard. I think he stays. And I'm about 51-49 on this. I don't have a strong conviction, but I will say this. Tip of the cap to the ownership, the country, the city. They have done it's almost like SEC football. This is the most impressive recruiting job. Free private jets, free penthouses, free food, Kawhi and Dine. And here's the other thing. Didn't you find Toronto's veteran players, like, it's a good fit. Like, Kawhi was the best player, but he kind of just fit in with a bunch of smart veteran guys. Not a lot of drama on this team. Not a lot of ego on this team. The GM, Nick Nurse, is one of the most, like, laid-back coaches. I kind of think it works in Toronto.
I think he stays. I mean, no one knows what Kawhi is going to do. We're all just guessing when it comes to Kawhi, but I don't see how you leave all of that. It doesn't feel as big with the Clippers, and his legacy's already set. He's already a Hall of Famer, Finals MVP twice, two championships. Just stay in Toronto and own Canada.
Next up, Tobias Harris. I'm going to go wild card here. I'm going to say Tobias Harris ends up going to the New York Knicks. Because they don't get Kyrie, they land Kevin Durant potentially, but Kevin Durant can't play, and so they settle for overpaying Tobias Harris. And I think Philadelphia has to make a choice here, and I think it's easier to get rid of Tobias Harris, who's a B player, and it's easier to sign Jimmy Butler, who on his best nights is absolutely an A player on both ends of the floor. So, and this is the Knicks' history. They tell us they're going to land blank, and they land blank.
I don't know. I think he ends up staying in Philly because I think Jimmy Butler is going to end up in Houston.
Right.
So I think he stays in Philly.
How about next, D'Angelo Russell? I'm going to go Minnesota Timberwolves. They can pay him the most money. And by the way, Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, what they need is a guard that can score. And I think Minnesota looks at Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns, and I think the ownership and the front office looks at that and thinks, guys, we got to hit on this. Like, we have to – we can't keep selling to the public in Minneapolis, hey, Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns – you're not a playoff team. You need to get an all-star-level point. You need a third guy. And I think people are running out of patience with the Timberwolves. The fans are. The owner is. So I think they max him. And I don't think the Lakers have the money to do it. And for the record, Minnesota's a great place to live. The organization, historically, is pretty well run. It's a little cold in the winter. But I'm going to go with him in Minnesota.
He should go where he can get the most money. And, I mean, has any of these players been linked to more teams than D'Angelo Russell? It's like anyone who is available to pay anybody, D'Angelo Russell is getting recruited there. Even teams that aren't. I saw something about the Suns and Devin Booker recruiting him there. Like, everybody wants him.
All right, and finally, Kevin Durant. I don't think he makes up his mind Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. I think Kevin Durant waits a few days. I think Kevin Durant feels he's the best player currently in the NBA, despite what Kawhi did in the finals. And Kevin Durant is my big question mark. I know I'm being told he's going to couple with Kyrie, but I don't think he's going to Brooklyn. I know you keep telling me he's going to New York. But I'll believe it when I see it, and he can make a lot more in Golden State. He's my big question mark. I think all these stories come out on Sunday and Monday morning, and I think Kevin Durant holds the media and the fans a little hostage for about 72 hours.
But you think that he'll know what team he's going to? Because how can any of the other pieces fall before he does?
I think he's going to be patient. I think he's going to watch all the dominoes fall. He's going to let everybody make their decision. And then Kevin on like Wednesday or Thursday morning is going to announce it after the pieces have fallen in place.
I felt a lot better about him staying in Golden State a few weeks ago, but I don't know. I honestly have no idea where he's going. I think New York would be fun, but the injury just changed everything.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
One of my favorite guys, Enes Kanter, Portland Trailblazer, pending free agent. You are so fascinating because you played with Durant, you played in New York, then you went to a small market in Portland, and it was a perfect fit. Yep. So let's start about that. They get Nurkic back, meaning you could make an argument they don't want to double pay for the same skill set.
Right.
Does it concern you that this team that adopted you within an hour, that you were family day one, they may not be able to afford you?
I mean, like you said, from the day one, they opened their arm, give me a warm welcome. Well, first, my first like 15 games with him, Nurk was playing. And I was coming from the bench. It was an amazing fit. You know, I don't have any problem with coming off the bench because all I care about is just go out there and winning. So, I mean, it's the decision they need to make that if they can, you know, afford me or not. But, I mean, everybody, the whole world knows that how much I love playing in Portland and how much I love the city.
What was really nice this year is that Damian Lillard finally was a national story.
Yes.
He's been great in Portland. This year he became a national story. Mm-hmm. We all went, yeah, he's great, and now we all acknowledge it.
Right.
Give my audience a sense of what he is like when we don't see him on the court. What makes him special?
Well, I think what makes him special is he makes himself better, and he makes everybody else better around him. That's what makes him really special. And, I mean, I know he was an amazing player, but I didn't know what kind of person he was before I get to Portland. But once I get to Portland, I'm like, that's why this organization is so professional and amazing, because it starts with him. And because just how he treats players, I mean, his teammates, I remember in that locker room, everybody has so much confidence because of him. And everybody feels so comfortable just playing with Dame because he's actually a very nice guy.
Yeah. They always say you're as good as your star in the NBA. Yes. He'll set the tone for the locker room. If your star's a good dude, sharing, caring, and a hard worker, everybody else feels they have to work equally hard.
Yeah, that's exactly who he is, man.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Kevin Durant. So you played, and we all change in life.
Right.
Young Kevin Durant didn't have two titles.
Right.
Young Kevin Durant isn't the Kevin Durant now. He has changed. He's evolved. He's still a little needy for me. I don't think he should go to New York. That's my takeaway. You played in New York.
Yep.
You know James Dolan. You know the dysfunction.
Right.
Do you think he goes to New York, and how does it work if he does?
If I was him, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love New York, I love the Knicks, you know, I love the fans, MSG and everything is cool. But I think I see him going to Brooklyn with Kyrie. Because, I mean, I know KD and I know his personality and everything. The media might be a little harsh on him with New York. Because if you're KD, if you're going to the Knicks, if you're not winning, they're going to blame you. But I think I feel like I see him going to Brooklyn. I wish he went to Knicks. I wish he go to Knicks. But I think I see him going to Brooklyn.
Do you think he could play well? I mean, why do you think he would give up all that money? Like, is he unhappy in Golden State?
I've never said he's unhappy. Obviously, he would just want the title and everything. But I think all that injury stuff and everything, I think he's kind of a little mad at the Warriors. And I think Brooklyn will be a good fit for him.
When you... We talk about money on the table, so I want you to talk as a professional athlete. If Kawhi is my son or my client, I could never say, give up $50
million. Yeah.
I could never tell a professional athlete, because I know the billionaire guy up top, he's not giving money back.
Yep.
Every penny. In fact, I think the billionaires at the top of these leagues love it when players feel loyalty and they got to get titles. And the owner's like, yes, I'll save more money. Could you give up $50 million guaranteed?
If I was in their shoes and if I'm that caliber of a player, I'm going to make that money of endorsements. So, if I am trying to win, I will give up that much money to go to a team that where I can play and be happy and play basketball that I love. But because I know, if my team do good, I'm going to make that money from an endorsement. So
winning's most important to you?
To me, yes, winning is more important.
When you're on a losing basketball team, is it a miserable life, even though your paychecks are big?
I have no idea, man.
Tell me.
I mean, I had a stretch with the Knicks with a whole month. We only got one win. And I remember I was seeing everybody, my teammates' face in the locker room. It was just, you know, that everybody worked so hard in their life for basketball. We were just not having fun. you know, the basketball that you love, doing your job, you're just not becoming fun anymore. You just don't even want to go to practice because you're losing every game. It was just so frustrating, and it was just so bad. But I think everything sold with winning. You know, once I get to Portland, man, I was like, my life changed. You know, I was just a different person, not a player. I was a different person.
You're happier.
Happier, yes.
So didn't you do a fasting during the playoffs?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so I got to ask about this. So you didn't eat anything?
Or drink anything.
Okay, for how long?
Especially because we were in Portland, it was 17 hours.
Okay, so was there a game that day?
Yes, it was. Especially it was in Denver, too.
Now, was this religious?
Yes.
Okay, so
it was the month of Ramadan.
Okay, so your month of Ramadan. So you went 17 hours, nothing, no water?
No water, no drinking.
How, as a professional athlete, did you do that?
So I do it once or twice a week during the season. So my body's used to doing it. And the fact that I just wanted to go out there and show the whole world that game of basketball is mental over physical. So if you put your mind on it, then you can do it. Just because I just wanted to show the whole world, my mind was so sharp. And I was like, there's no way I can go out there and play bad because they're going to blame the Ramadan. And I just went out there, man, just pay attention to the little details. And then
no water.
I remember, actually. So we were in a water break. But this water guy just kept giving me water. I'm like, I'm good. You know, because he didn't know I was fasting. And then after a sudden, why don't you drink water? He's like, hey, I'm fasting. I was like, man, I'm sorry. And I remember my teammates were drinking waters and Gatorades right next to me. I'm like, man. That looks good, but you know what? I was looking at the time. I'm like, I was keep asking the trainer, like, how many hours left? It's like 2 hours left, 1 hour left. I was like, okay, you can break your fast during the halftime. So I was just eating some like peanut butter and jelly sandwich, some bananas, and it was fine.
Good for you, mental strength. Okay, so I heard a terrible thing. I love Zion Williamson.
Okay.
He can pass. He's big. He's strong. I think he's got a magnetism.
Okay.
You think he's overrated? Just say it. You can say it.
Okay.
I
kind of feel like he's overhyped. I feel like he's Julius Randle with hops.
He's Julius Randle with
hops. That's how I believe.
By the way, you're not the first person who said that.
Yes. Well, some players are even like scared to say it, but you know me. You know, I'm not scared to say anything.
So Julius Randle, but more vertical.
Well, yes. There you go. That's exactly what I was.
How would you defend him?
I would just defend, I would just let him shoot, you know. But I if he develop his shot, he's definitely could become a Hall of Famer. But, I mean, it's all in his hand. He just needs to put the work in and just go out there and just show the whole world.
You know, it's interesting. You played Denver and beat them.
Yes.
Denver was really young.
Very.
Toronto won the final. They were really old.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's incredible value to players 29, 30, 31 in this league.
Right.
I think it's a man's league. In fact, I'm a big believer that college kids should stay in college for 2 years for mental growth,
right.
Physical growth. A lot of these guys come in after 1 year, they fall apart physically. They're dealing with you,
yes.
And you're 35 pounds heavier and stronger than a college center. So when you look at all these veterans and you watch the draft, how do veterans like you, you've been in the NBA now, it'll be your ninth year.
Mm-hmm.
How do you look at rookies?
Oh, man.
Just to abuse them on the floor?
Oh, yes. We cannot wait for them to come to the league. And just because of they hype him so much and they this and that. And they're a rookie. They are already saying, oh, he's going to become a Hall of Famer. He hasn't played a minute in NBA court yet. So they were just hyping him so much. I feel like us veterans just cannot wait for him to just go out there and play against them. And whenever we play against them, I was like, okay, welcome to the men's league. I love what Kobe Bryant said is NBA, no boys allowed. So I love that comment. I'm like, every time I go out there, I'm like, it's a men's league, man. So just go out there and just show the welcome to the league.
Oh, by the way, I couldn't have you on if I didn't ask about Westbrook.
Okay.
I'm very critical of Westbrook.
I already know that from last year.
No. I'm not. I don't hate him. I think he's overhyped. I think he's hard to play with. I think there's a certain rigidity to him that makes it difficult. He's had the last couple years, the playoffs have been ugly. If I said to you tomorrow you could play with Durant again or Westbrook, who did you enjoy playing with more?
I ask that question almost. I get that question almost every week.
Really?
Oh yeah, every week from somebody. The kids ask me about the basketball camps, or just some media guy asked me this and that. I will pick Westbrook any day.
Really?
I just have so much fun playing with him, and people are keep saying like, I know you just, you know, you don't like him as much, but he is actually not hard to play with, man. Like literally, and whenever you're in his team, it's just. You cannot take any position, not games, any position off. Every time, like, you're out there, he just fires you up, gets you ready for the game. Durant, don't get me wrong, I'm obviously he's one of the best in the whole world, but I will definitely pick Westbrook.
Cannot believe that. By the way, you're wearing a Herd shirt. Can we see this? Look there at the go. Loyalty to the brand.
It is a loyalty.
And isn't that amazing? I heard you have a present for me.
Yes, I do. I know you're a Blazers fan.
I covered them for 6.5 years.
Yeah.
And I've always been called a zero, so you got me a double zero.
Doubles, yep. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no problem, my man.
You are the best.
There you go.
NS Canner, good seeing you, buddy.
I appreciate it, man.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So Vegas released their the Westgate. Release their MVP odds. And I'm going to just name the quarterbacks they listed. So there's a couple of defensive ends. There's a couple of running backs. There's a handful of wide receivers. There's one tight end, two tight ends. These are the quarterbacks they listed. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, Carson Wentz, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, Russell Wilson, Big Ben, Matt Ryan, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Cam Newton, Deshaun Watson, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, Sam Darnold, Derek Carr, Jameis Winston, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Marcus Mariota, Mitchell Trubisky, Nick Foles. Only six teams did not have their quarterback mentioned. Many of those teams have kids. Josh Allen for Buffalo, Miami, Josh Rosen. Washington, of course, has Dwayne Haskins. Do you notice Eli Manning doesn't get mentioned? Vegas considers two tight ends, six running backs, and multiple wide receivers, Lamar Jackson, Mitch Trubisky, and rookie Kyler Murray to be four times minimum as likely to win MVP as Eli Manning. Now, they could have the problem solved in New York, but New York, which likes you to believe they're an edgy, tough, brutal, honest, bottom-line town, you went small-town America when the Giants were 2-9, benched Eli, and the city imploded. Tough, brutal, honest, authentic New York couldn't handle their 2-9 quarterback being benched, which forced their front office to do this instead of Sam Darnold.
The New York Giants have not traded this pick. They have made it. Could it be Sam Darnold? Could it be Saquon Barkley? This is a linchpin pick of the 2018 draft.
With the second pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the New York Giants select Saquon Barkley, running back, Penn State.
Well, what it tells you right off the bat is that Dave Gettleman did not believe that any of the quarterbacks left on the board were a franchise quarterback.
Or it tells you that when they benched Eli going 2-9, the city imploded. Therefore, ownership and the front office passed on Sam Darnold because they knew if they brought Darnold in, it wouldn't be a good look to Eli Manning, and so now the rival Jets have the star quarterback of the future in the city playing in MetLife Stadium, the same stadium as the New York Giants. The Philadelphia Eagles bailed on Nick Foles, who beat Tom Brady and was a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. Bailed on him. In fact, they bailed on him twice. And the Giants can't bail on Eli. Look at the Super Bowl odds, the MVP odds. There are multiple pass rushers, multiple backs, two tight ends, wide receivers, Lamar Jackson, Mitch Trubisky, not even classic pocket guys, Kyler Murray, no Eli.
Well, it's just setting up to be the greatest MVP run of all time. Everybody counted him out.
Green Bay let Favre go after an NFC championship season. Indy let Peyton Manning go. San Francisco let Joe Montana go, and he had a lot of gas in the tank. I mean, New York, you keep telling me how tough, how edgy, how brutal, how honest, how authentic you are. You went Mayberry. You're 2-9 quarterback, four straight bad seasons, bench, you couldn't handle it. This is what you are. Not even listed on the Pro Football MVP odds. Not even listed. They have multiple Joey Bosa's on there, and your quarterback's not.